Welcome back to the Saturday Splash here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. This is Maddie with the Soil and Water Conservation District, and we have with us some very special Clemson Extension agents with us today. We have Patricia Whitener.
Hey, Maddie.
4-H Clemson Extension agent. And Marie Hegler, the Food Safety and Nutrition agent.
Hello.
So we're talking about water. It's fall. So we're going to talk a little bit about lawn and garden tips. Now it's becoming fall and we're getting outside and we need to change out our flowers because our marigolds are dying. And, you know, we're out sitting on the porch and, you know, things are going to start migrating. And fall is a big time.
It is absolutely beautiful in the mornings and the evenings now. I mean, it's still hot this week, but I can tell there's no humidity in the air. So we've got that nice little cool nip of fall on the horizon. And I love being on my porch this time of year. And everything looks terribly thirsty from all my summer plants. So it's definitely time to pull up all of your summer plants and think about your cool season plantings. And I think last time we talked a little bit about vegetables. But there's also, I love a pop of color. I mean, mm-hmm. It's important to have. We also want to be able to continue to provide food for our pollinators. And I even leave my hummingbird feeders out well into the wintertime, because even though a lot of them will be migrating, they're still going to need some food source. And a lot of them will stick around throughout the winter as well.
That's a good point. So we have a lot of migration going on. Can you tell us what's migrating and what we can do to help?
Well, all of our neotropical migrants are currently getting ready to make the big journey. So we will have birds that have been wintering very, very far north. Will just be stopping by on their way down south. And then we have lots of species of migratory birds that spend their summers, and their breeding season is here in the upstate of South Carolina and along the southeastern seaboard. And they will be heading down even further south to overwinter. So it's really important to keep your bird feeders full, and to keep your water should be out there for your birds, your feathered friends. And you want to keep that water fresh.
Little bird bath.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of talk about, you're hearing a lot about Zika in the news, and nobody likes to be sitting on their porch and get bitten by mosquitoes. So it's really important to keep that water fresh. And there's even little things that you can buy for a fairly economic price that will keep your water actually moving. And, of course, those mosquitoes will not breed in moving water.
But they need still water. So if you have, like, buckets sitting around or bird feeders sitting around, make sure those are empty or full of fresh water.
Absolutely right. Yeah. And when you do water your plants, when the water that collects in the bottom of your flower pots, you want to dump that out as well. Or just put it right back into the plant and it will stay into that soil.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's smart. So plants, why do plants drop their leaves? Why do we get pretty leaves in the fall?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, two main groups of trees. We have the gymnosperms and the angiosperms. And we have things that are considered evergreen. And then those things that drop their foliage every fall, right? Deciduous trees. And those are the ones that have all those beautiful fall colors. And so those colors, once trees stop photosynthesizing and using that nice, bright, vibrant green chlorophyll to make food for themselves, then all those other beautiful colors that were already present in the leaf begin to show up. So you have your xanthophylls, which will make your beautiful yellows, and you have your anthocyanins, which make your beautiful reds, and your carotenoids, which make those beautiful oranges. And so all of these compounds were already present in the leaf. They were just masked by that nice green chlorophyll. So, cool. And that helps them conserve water. So they begin to senesce or drop their leaves in the winter, and they enter a semi-dormant state.
Well, that makes sense. So there's not as much sunlight in the summer. You know, the days are very short.
Right.
The sun doesn't get as high. We don't get as much sun. So there's just not as much sunlight for these plants to be making their own food with.
Absolutely.
Isn't that
right.
Cool. Plants make their own food. I just can't not geek out about that.
They're a huge part of the water cycle, so I understand why you love it.
Oh yeah. You know it. Cool. All right. So we're seeing lots of birds coming down, and we're seeing lots of leaves changing colors.
Well, there's lots of food stuff out there, right? So there's things like you'll start seeing the acorns, you'll start seeing all the pine cones dropping, and that's what the turkey and the deer and all the other wonderful critters like to eat and store foodstuffs for over the winter. And there's lots of things that trees produce in the fall that I like to eat. and, you know, not acorns, but things like persimmons, apples, absolutely right. And then, you know, I even have some leftover summer vegetables that I'm kind of trying to figure out what to do with. And I know back in the day, my grandmother used to do a lot of canning.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Interesting.
At Clemson Extension, we actually teach people how to can safely, because what your grandmother did might not exactly be as safe now as it, or it probably wasn't really safe then either. But so we teach people how to appropriately can so they don't, first of all, make people sick, but also it's a good way to preserve those fresh fruits and vegetables from the summer and the fall so that you can keep them for the winter.
Oh, go on. Give me some canning basics, because I have no idea how to can, and it sounds like it can be dangerous if you do it wrong, and I don't, I'm not ready to die yet. So
it is a little intimidating.
It is, and I think we try to kind of give everybody the concerns just so they will follow. It's basically following the instructions.
Okay, so what happens if you improperly can? Let's start with that.
Botulism.
Oh, that does not sound good at all.
But that's rare, but that's why we pressure can things. And there's two types of canning. There's water bath and pressure canning. You water bath can high acid food. So your fruits, jams, jellies, pickle, anything that has a lot of acid, you can water bath that, which just means you put cans in a pot of water, boiling water, and you cook it for the appropriate time. There's a certain time. You follow the certain recipes that the USDA extension, any extension, not just Clemson extension, they provide recipes that have been tested so that we know that they're safe. And then for your vegetables, so your low acid foods, you have to pressure can those because you're worried about botulism. And the botulism spore is all in the environment. We're constantly breathing them in and ingesting them, which sounds kind of daunting, but it's not daunting unless it turns into the toxin.
Ah.
It turns into the toxin through an anaerobic environment, so a no oxygen environment where there's food, moisture, and if it's at room temperature. So you think about a can of green beans that comes from the ground, has those botulism spores, you seal them off in a jar and you let them sit in the cabinet for years.
Oh.
It can get toxic, yeah.
Yeah. So you're not worried about it just in general, but when it becomes in the appropriate conditions, it can be deadly.
Yeah.
So we pressure can those in order, because boiling water won't kill the botulism spore.
Okay. Wow.
And so you have to add pressure to that scenario in order to kill the spore. So people think, oh, I can just cook these green beans forever and then throw them in a jar and they should be okay. But it's, that wouldn't kill a spore if the spore was there.
Oh, wow.
Dun, dun, dun,
good
dun.
To know.
Yeah.
So it's, I love the idea of canning and the fact that I could actually take a class and learn how to can properly so they don't make me, myself, or my family sick.
Exactly. And the, you were mentioning the HDIC website. They also provide information like what I'm telling you right now. It gives you a step-by-step guide to making sure you
okay, so you can go on
foods.
Home and Garden Information Center.
HGIC.
Yes. Correct.
.edu.
Clemson.edu.
Mm-hmm. HGIC.clemson.edu. Got
that's
it.
Right.
Okay. So do you have any classes planned? Canning classes? Do you have any coming up?
We're going to do a pickling one coming soon.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I love pickled okra.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Now, do you have some of the same concerns with pickling as you would with traditional canning?
When you water bath can stuff, you really are just trying to eliminate spoilage. So you want, if you're taking all this time to can something, you want to make sure it lasts. So it's really water bath canning is just to kill any kind of molds and yeast. So with things with high acid, you're not concerned about botulism necessarily unless it turns into a low acid environment. So you're really just putting those in jars and boiling them to the point where it would kill any kind of microbials that would cause.
So let me ask, do you need any special equipment for this, or like how do I get started? What do I need?
Water bath canning, not so much. You just need a pot of water, jars. We have a list. You can go to HGIC again and get the appropriate list, because you want to make sure you use the right jars. You don't want to recycle. You can recycle mason jars. So those jars, mm-hmm. those Ball Brand jars or whatever, Golden Harvest, Kerr, those jars, you can reuse indefinitely. But you
and that's good, because sometimes if you go, you know, like if you go to the market or something, you can get jams and all sorts of things already in a mason jar. So then once those are finished, you can just reuse the jar.
Yeah.
Can you, like if I have a jar of pickles and I eat the pickles, can I reuse that jar?
No, unless it was like a home, like it was a mason jar. Mm-hmm. So the jars you get in the grocery store are not tempered to withstand constant heat.
Okay.
Of
so they're a single
canning.
Use
so,
essentially.
Yeah. So any of those kind of jars, not so much. But if you went to the market and got pickles that somebody else had made at home, or probably not home, but wherever they DHEC approved kitchen or whatever, you could use those over and over as long as they're like a heavy mason jar.
Cool. And canning is really great because, I mean, we've talked a lot on this show about eating local foods and having fresh, healthy, sustainably grown foods. And this way you can take your own produce or you can take the produce from the market and you can can it and you can have it all winter long. So instead of, you know, in the winter, we're not growing as much food. So a lot of our food is coming from Florida or California or, you know, places where it stays warmer for
even
longer.
Further away.
So
right.
It's coming from the other side of the country. So instead yep. of relying on that, you can just can what you grow or can what you buy now. And then you'll still have your semi-fresh food all through the winter until we can get close, local, sustainable food again in the spring.
And you can monitor the amount of salt and sugar you put in things as well. So
that's
a good
That's another thing. Yeah, getting stuff in the store, you have no control over what goes into it. So that's another really good reason to cook for yourself and grow your own and can your own and jam your own.
Yep. I can and you can too.
Oh! Can you say that
just
again?
Just made up that motto.
I can and you can too. Marie Hegler, everyone.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Clemson Extension is a wonderful, wonderful resource.
It is. And, you know, I like the idea of that on Saturday Splash, that you're not just focusing on the traditional concepts of water conservation, but you're looking at the whole picture of how we live and how we utilize the resources that we get from our planet.
We talk about water conservation all the time, but it, like you said, it is a big picture thing. So, you know, we've talked before about how water is neither created nor destroyed. So, you know, the same amount of water we have now is the water that we've always had, or since it came to Earth anyway. And it's the same water that we will always have. So, you know, we have to conserve it. And it's not that we are, you know, people say, oh, we're running out of water or we're losing water. That's not true. It's just that the water is being used for different things. So it's being displaced. So whereas normally you have you've got your lake and your river and that's where your critters would live and, you know, different things like that. We're taking that water from them, using it for our own goods, which we need to use. I mean, we need water, definitely. The more water we use, the more water is being removed from this kind of natural water cycle. And then we're moving it all over the place. So we don't put it back where we found it. We discharge it elsewhere. So we're just really relocating a lot of this water. So good to keep in mind. It's all big picture. It all comes back together. You are listening to the Saturday Splash on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. Check out our website, saturdaysplash.com. Send us an email. Say hey. Ask us your questions. Find links to resources that we've talked about on the show. And we'll be back after this to talk more about water.
Water.
Yeah.
Water.
All right.